There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. Hour number two of Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And the phone number and the text line, the same, 343-0106, 343-0106. It also just got this text here from Jim Bob from Jackson. Said, hey, Sean, just stopped by the station, picked up some stickers. Hate, missed meeting you. Well, come back. I'm usually there. Today I'm just... This is the extended flu. It's ridiculous, but trying to recover here at the Western Studios out in West Mobile County. He said, I listen to y'all everywhere with the app driving a truck. So reminder too, not only is it yet another way to get in touch with the station by sending us one of those talkback messages through the app, but you can stream the station there. You get our show schedules, all our social media feeds in one place with breaking news on there. You get the latest here on our podcast when they go up. The first place they post is to the FM Talk 106.5 app. All kind of stuff. You can even set the alarm on your phone to start off listening to Dan and Dalton, or if you're real sleepyhead, Jeff Poor, or if you're working nights, my show. But whatever, you can set it, and it comes on and plays the station as well. It's free and waiting for you at the App Store. If you're an iOS user, Apple user, it's at the App Store. And if you're a cool, hip, 50-something-year-old dad like me, you can always grab it over at Google Play for us Android users out there. So check it out. And, yeah, we'll get your text this hour at 343-0106. Get to our guest in 1 second. I do want to say two things. You heard maybe breaking news, Christopher Wray out resigning at the FBI. That's not a big surprise. And the story that just ran, too, about McConnell falling, we're not worried about Mitch McConnell falling. I mean, it's not good. I don't want him to fall. But that's not been the health concern with Mitch McConnell. Remember, he would lock up in the middle of a conversation. That's the thing. I don't need Mitch McConnell to be, like, bounding over things. I'm worried about what's going on in between the ears. But so much talked about, like, oh, well, he fell. Well, he's an older guy. He fall. Listen, I'm that younger guy, and I fall. So, I wish they would. They're like, yeah, he fell. I'm like, yeah, but is he functioning between the ears? That's the thing a lot of us worry about. All right. I mentioned before we went to the news, a guest joining us here in this segment to introduce herself and maybe themselves. I don't know if both of them are with us and tell us what they do. I was put together with this person. So Mandolin Sittler is joining us, and I was put together from our mutual friend Kim Garrett and from Victory Health, who's a great human being. And so I figured when she said, hey, I met somebody who's pretty awesome and doing great stuff, then, you know, the reputation proceeds. Mandolin, good to meet you, and welcome aboard.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm good. So I want to, first of all, your group is Hope Goes, right?
It is, yes.
And give me the idea, like, Hope Goes where, right? That's the question people ask when they hear it?
Sure. Well, we go to places where, obviously, where there was natural disasters, but also the homeless, anybody who really needs a little bit of hope. And we try and take care of their needs first, their physical needs, and then, of course, their emotional needs. And so that's how we send out hope with them. If we can get them to a place where they can hope again and start looking forward to the future again, and that's really our mission, is to just help people, you know, emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
You know, what you're doing all over the place is fantastic. Specifically is even more important. You think about the mountains of Appalachia. We've seen this down here with hurricanes. You see natural disasters and the news people are on site and they're there for, you know, 5 days, maybe 8 days, and then they pack up and move on. And sure. Then from the consciousness nationally, it's like it's still not going on. But in fact, these people are still suffering. You're seeing it firsthand.
Yes. In fact, it seems like every trip that we take up there, and my husband is here with me today.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Paul.
Every trip we take, it's a little bit worse than the time before because the needs aren't being met as much as they were at first. Well, the first time we went, there was so many people there. There were so many food trucks. There were so many people taking donations. And each time, that's kind of dwindled just a little bit. And this last time, they were actually packing up a lot of the food trucks, the showers, the portable showers, and all of that stuff. And the cold is setting in. So really, they need us more than ever right now.
Yeah, the need is growing as the temperatures drop. And so many people are still living in tents. There's a lot of information that's going out where people are confused about actually what is happening there. So with us being able to visit and actually see what's happening on the ground, we can actually report to the community what the needs really are because we've seen it firsthand.
So, I mean, when they're packing up these the kitchens and the shower facilities and all that, they're not doing it based on the need being gone. They're doing it because, what, it's time to move on? Or what did you hear from them? Or why are they leaving?
Well, we actually didn't get to speak to the county. But we do speak to a lot of the people who are living there in tents and some of the people that are still there helping. And the county has actually come in and asked several of these people to move out of the parking lots and to pack up. So, you know, I can't say 100% that this is what is happening, but from what I've seen, they're definitely all leaving. And then, of course, the people that live there telling their stories. And they're desperate.
We know it's... I think most people from around here maybe have taken a summertime trip up into the Smoky Mountains, and you realize in the summertime, the reason we go up there is it's cool even in August up there. I can't imagine facing December, January, February.
I was there last week, and it was 15 degrees with 25-mile-an-hour winds, and it was like a 2-degree wind chill. I could not imagine having my family in a dome tent with a 2-degree wind chill. I mean, just an hour of standing outside and my lips were so chapped and I was absolutely freezing and I just couldn't imagine sleeping in it.
And this is great talking to folks like you and Paul that have been there to ask the question, what do the folks need? Because, you know, you see these mobilization efforts down here after a hurricane, and there's sometimes there's lots of stuff that the people don't really need, but not enough stuff of the things that people really need. Things it takes private sector to get more efficient with that. What do they need? What do y'all see? Obviously, it's shelter, you're saying?
Yes. Shelters
is
definitely the main. We just need to get them warm. We actually discovered while I was up there last time, there's something called a hot tent where they actually come. You can get the little wood-burning stoves that go inside, and they have a reinforced vent hole to put them through, and they really do warm up the tent very well. Those are amazing. Cots to get them up off of the cold ground. I did hear from one person, they said they could put 5 sleeping bags on top of each other, and after a while, that cold from the ground still does come through. So we're trying to get them up off the cold ground. Little buddy heaters, they run on propane, the little green propane tanks. Those are wonderful. And
those are things that, maybe people could find at a store here, but I'm sure that if there's any on a shelf up there, they're gone the second they deliver.
They are. They're gone hours all the way around.
And, you know, the tents, that's not a permanent solution, but because of the difficulty they're facing with getting, you know, more permanent structure issues fixed, at least these are some temporary solutions, especially as the temperatures are dropping.
Yeah, you might say, hey, the permanent solution is getting my house back. Well, that's great, but right now your clear and present danger is your family freezing to death.
Absolutely. That's correct.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, the tents you're talking about, too, I mean, I've seen them, used them out west, you know, these tents that have the vent for the wood-burning stove in there. Is there supply around here of those kind of things to get? Can you, do you need people to get them and bring them to you, or do you need people to give you money to go get them? What's the best way? What's the most efficient way?
I have went to every store around here looking for them and was not able to locate them, but Amazon does have them. And also, there is a website, which I'm trying to look up now. They actually have really good deals, and his name is Jim, and he gave me a 15% off discount, which was absolutely wonderful because I bought in bulk. And before the end of the show, I'll definitely have have his website to you. I think it's Three Rivers Outdoors is what their website is called. But let me just verify that.
Okay. And I'm thinking, too, I mean, if people have, just in the short term, if they have a tent like that, and if the people that have them know what you're talking about, you know, you use them more for...
Yeah,
if they've got them, you know, they can give them to you there. The Mr. Buddy heaters, you know, I've got one that's sitting not too far from me right now. I'm not using it right now, but those are, I see those at the outdoor stores I go to. So, I mean, you know, people could buy those. When are you taking your next trip up?
Well, this trip will be Saturday. We actually had Tony's Trucking in Fairhope donate for the trip a 54-foot trailer, and then the Lipscombs are donating a semi to pull it and paying for the diesel. So this time we're actually filling up a semi, which is, I would say, three-quarters of the way full already.
Jason, what's Jason's name?
Jason Gundy and his dad are driving.
Him and his father have... donated their time with CDL license to drive the semi to Western North Carolina for us on Saturday.
But we will be going every 2 weeks. So this is definitely long-term for us. These people are going to need help for years. Of course, the needs are going to change. But we'll be going up every couple weeks. So even if people can't get stuff to us by Friday, which would be the deadline for this trip, we do have a storage building that we got a really good deal on where we can store stuff. And, of course, we're more than happy. Our guest bedrooms, we don't mind filling them to the ceiling. So.
Yeah, okay. And I'm looking at a lot of text here. This audience is trying to help here. Jamie said, if I wanted to order the hot tents and heaters on Amazon, is there an address I send them to?
Yes, I can give you my address. It's all over social media, so it's
that's the best thing to do. Just give us like a, because most people are riding down the road or something. Like, is there a website they can go to or a Facebook page to get that info once they get, you know, somewhere in front of a computer?
Well, they can go straight to my Facebook page, Mandy Lynn Sittler. We are working on a Facebook page for our ministry that is still in the makings. This has all happened so fast.
Great.
But right now, they could just go to my personal page, and there is several posts on there with pictures and with lists and with our address.
And I know Leanna back at the studio will get that. We can get that link put up on our Facebook page, y'all, as well, so you can go find it and get those donations in. But you said Friday is the next deadline, but even if somebody doesn't get it done by then, there's still going to be need every 2 weeks.
Yes. Yes, maybe even we've done it every week sometimes as the our schedule allows. So definitely every 2 weeks, but maybe a little bit sooner than that.
And we'll make sure as soon as we're done, Sean, we'll get on the Hope Goes Facebook page. They can go to Hope Goes, and we'll actually put our address on that page as well, so people will have an access to the address.
Okay, good. So so just go to Facebook and look for Hope Goes.
Hope Goes, that's correct.
So we've got the heating element here, the shelter element here. Anything else? I mean, I'm thinking about these families up there, and you know, it's Christmas time, and I mean, if you can't find heat, how are you going to go find Tickle Me Elmo or whatever? You know, I don't know what the dang toy is.
We did our last trip. We actually did do a Christmas drive, which was amazing. We had a big response. But, you know, every trip before Christmas, if people want to donate Christmas presents, that's absolutely encouraged. You know, that's part of the hope. I mean, I can't imagine being a parent and having to worry about all of this other stuff, especially keeping them warm and fed and not being able to provide them Christmas.
Let me share an interesting, wonderful story, Sean, real quickly. I'm a local woman from here in Baldwin County. I posted on the Baldwin County events page about the semi that's going out. Well, she sent a message today, and she had already packed up 100 stuffed stockings for kids and offered to donate those for us to take this Saturday when we take the trip to North Carolina.
Wow. Yeah, so already set, just ready to go stockings.
Yeah. Ready to go stockings, already stuffed. For the children, and offered for us to take those with us when we go.
We've got the local artist, too, who is painting 100 hand-painted Christmas cards for us to take.
This is it's great to watch, and I never doubt it, but it's a great thing to sit back and watch how our community, and I'm sure other communities would do it, but this is mine, will rally together to help out folks that they don't even know.
It's been amazing, absolutely amazing. So many people we have had the opportunity and blessing to meet who've come by our door to drop off donations. Every day we get home, the front porch is full. The people we've met, it's been overwhelmingly amazing.
It is heartwarming. You got me grinning, too, because I love it when people help out each other. We could get into the, who should be doing it. But the point is, at the end of the day, citizens will do it for each other, right? Human beings take care of human beings, whether they're 100%. An official capacity or not. So once again, the Facebook page, Hope Goes?
Yes. We've just created it, so it's still fairly new. We are getting all the posts updated from our different trips. They can either go there or to Mandy Lynn Sittler.
All right, good stuff. God bless y'all for the work you're doing. And will you keep me in the loop when you come back from this trip?
Absolutely, we will. Thank you so much for this opportunity to help get awareness out there. I think that's so important. It's important for them to know that we're not going to forget them.
And I like your style. Carolina, me coming from North Carolina, I lived there for a good part of my life. This community here in Alabama is second to none.
Well, fantastic. I'm glad we can share some of our love from down here with those folks up there. And y'all just keep doing it and keep us in the loop. Paul and Mandy Lynn Sittler, Hope Goes. Big thank you. All right. If y'all needed more information on those donations, we'll get it posted on our Facebook as well. Or you can just hit me up on the text line.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. Hey, and what a great thing. I love these stories. I mean, this is back, and we'll always do these, help out people that are helping out people, right? I mean, from hurricane relief efforts from back after Katrina that I was doing to working with Cajun Navy. Before the Cajun Navy was like a brand. Isn't it a brand now? Don't they have like Cajun Navy like shirts and stuff? I think they do. But I mean, they were coming on, I think, the morning show back then when I did it, or maybe it was the midday show. But I would have them come on from time to time, talk about what they were doing. So I love the efficiency of, talking about what's actually needed in an area and getting them those things. So, Chris in Orange Beach, you're welcome. Let's see, this one from Chris in Wemo. Out here where I am, I may be west of you, Chris. I said I heard two people froze to death recently. Listen, it's cold. That's why I love going up there in the summertime, right? Smoky Mountains, as it is, are cold. You can look at a weather station. There's a place called Mount LeConte, right? Well, there is, and there's a lodge up top of Mount LeConte. It's up over Gatlinburg, and check out their temperatures up there. LeConte, LeConte. If you look at the Mount LeConte Lodge, you can watch what their weather station shows. Serious cold up there. And I could sit and just talk. I mean, we talked this to death, but if you're going to have a federal government that's going to be there as a safety net, right? There are stories like this that stand out, whether they be people after Katrina or these folks after the hurricanes, the folks in Western North Carolina and Tennessee, North Georgia, trying to get them to a place where they can get their feet back under them. And with winter there, oh my gosh. So please donate the items needed, help fill out this semi, and then we'll do it every 2 weeks and send them up there. All right, coming back, more Midday Mobile, 343-0106. We'll talk next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So welcome back, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday, and I will grab some text here in just a second. First, let me check in with my buddy David McCrary at Elsia Motor Cars, where Santa goes to load his sleigh with the vehicles that the folks around here are looking for. Hey, man.
Hey, bud. I had to hang up on Mr. Skoda while you was calling in. I'm on my way to look at 7 vehicles right now. We got 7 trucks we're going to put a bid in today. Hopefully, we'll get them, some work trucks. Going to inspect them, make sure everything looks good with them.
Okay. This is something, too, that people, I'm glad you talk about it, because we don't talk about it every time we talk. But, you know, you got the SUVs, you got the cars, you got the pickups, but you have work trucks. You get flatbeds, you get Tommy lift gates, you get all kind of work vehicles.
We do. We've got a really nice Ford F-150 right now with a Tommy lift gate on it. Just came in a couple of days ago. It's got some boxes on the side of it for your tools and whatnot, and then a you know, the Tommy lifts, they're not cheap, and they do a lot of good things for people that need to lift anything.
Yeah, as a kid, we delivered safes for a place I worked for, and we did not have a Tommy lift gate, and then we finally got one, and it was next level, and then I had to go back to school. But let's also talk about right now, if somebody comes down the lot and for some reason doesn't see the vehicle that they're thinking they need under the tree, or next to the tree out there, you got time to still headhunt a vehicle for somebody?
We do, and I'm actually heading to South Florida Monday, and I'm going to be looking for some stuff down there. So give me a call or just come by and see me, and we can, if we can't find it, I mean, I'll be down there amongst thousands of cars. Be more than happy to try to locate you something there.
All right. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, you too. David checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Oh, and thank you. My buddy Ben sent this to me. You know, yesterday when I went on my little discussion about the, you know, they said, oh, well, it could be Kamala Harris. Maybe the story trying to get some attention for Times Person of the Year. And I said, other than I will say that this Mangione guy, maybe, but I guess it's too late to get in the mix. It had to be Trump, and it looks like. Well, thank you, Ben. Sent me a story here from Politico. Says Time Magazine to name Trump Person of the Year. So, of course, he won that back in 2016. And I would say it's an even more amazing thing. I mean, 2016 left a lot of people slack-jawed in the news world, right? And some of them are still there with Trump's win. But, I mean, the things he went through in this cycle, yeah, I mean, he had political identity he didn't have before, but that's also a negative sometimes for Trump. So it looks like, yeah, it says Donald Trump is expected to be named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. And to celebrate the unveiling of the cover, the president-elect will ring the opening bell of the New York Stock Exchange tomorrow morning, according to 3 people familiar with plans, granted anonymity because they were not authorized to divulge the plans. There's no reason to, I guess, anymore. I talk about this. In the world I work in here, people will come and say, hey, Sean, there's a thing. This is a thing that's going to happen, but you can't say anything about it right now. And so I don't, unless they're hurting somebody, I don't say anything. But I guess everybody else in media, as soon as something is said, then it, you know, just gets leaked out. Sometimes purposely, sometimes not. All right. Ashley, I knew you were cool. Ashley from Loosedale said we stayed up at LeConte several years ago in April, snow and 22 degrees, but we about had a heat stroke that night in the cabin with those wool blankets. Listen, I know what you're talking about. The wool blankets, and if you get on the top bunk in one of those, so that it's even hotter up there, you know, where you have the little propane heater in there, it can be, can sweat you out. But we've been up there this year going back around Labor Day. It's been a few years since I've been lucky enough to, and it, I wasn't even lucky enough to draw the lottery this year, but a friend of mine did and had some charity on me, so I'm going back. But that's a lot of fun. I sometimes when I talk about it, I'm like, I shouldn't talk about it. It's more competition, but I want everybody to see something like this. If you like to get outside, you like the Smokies, you like to hike, and to realize there are structures inside Great Smoky Mountains National Park that you can stay in, but there's no road there. It's up on top of Mount LeConte, and it's these cabins that Ashley stayed in and I've stayed in up there. And you've got there are five different trails, maybe. No, there's more than three. Maybe there are five different, five trails that go up. You can pick any of the trails, different, you know, kind. Some are, you know, up and down, up and down. Some are just straight up. But you take that hike up there, and what's neat about it, and love backpacking, but as age has come to me, the idea of carrying a lighter pack is a good thing. And the way the LeConte Lodge works, if you get drawn, you pay for it, believe me, and free. But you have water up there. You have food up there. If you get the little wine certificate, you get a glass of the worst wine you've ever had. But those taste good when you're up there. You go up there. And so you don't have to carry everything on your – you carry a day pack, right? Carry a change of – underpants, change of socks, and maybe a book to read when you're up there, and obviously your water and food for the hike going up and coming down. But you go up there and do it. So we've gone in the warm times of the year. So Ashley, I can imagine April being there on the whatever shoulder season that is. It could be pretty chilly because I've been up there in July, June and July, and you know, there I am in Tennessee, and it's 36 degrees in the morning or something like that. It's an amazing place. You can drive up, you can get that same kind of temperature change, go over to Mount Mitchell or something like that. But there's, like Ashley, obviously, you know, something to be achieved going somewhere that no roads go. Which, by the way, they bring the supplies in, y'all. Like, I think once or twice a year they fly propane in and some stuff up to the top of the mountain. But everything else comes in with llamas. And the llamas got panniers on them. And I don't know which couple was doing it. I don't know if it's new people, but there'd be groups that have these trained llamas, and they link them all together, and they go up and down the go up the mountain, take the supplies and stuff you'll be eating, and come down, and then 2 days later come back up the mountain. It's a pretty cool thing, and I'm looking forward to it. And it's going to be a while, but Labor Day will be here before you know it. All right, more on the text line here. CB Carl said, my family lived in Greenville, South Carolina. A couple years when I was a kid, one blizzard taught this southern boy to hate snow. I'll get with some of the people I know that are always willing to help. I don't do Facebook, so if you can send me the address, that'd be awesome. Okay, we can do that, CB Carl. And for the Facebook people, too, Leanna told me that it's the link to the Hope Goes Facebook page is on our Facebook page. So if you didn't get it written down before, it's waiting for you over there. And you can help them out there. And let's see, one last, where's this? Oh, yeah, maybe we'll get to this tomorrow, or maybe we'll visit here later before the end of the hour. It's interesting that the drone activity is peaking in New Jersey. We'll just leave it at that. But, yeah, this is a good time. Dalton, if you can, I know you're in the studio, if you can crack your mic there with the announcement now of the Person of the Year for Time Magazine being Donald Trump, which it should have been. Where are we in Alabamian of the Year right now?
That is that's a fantastic question, Sean. And while Time may think that they are the big award on the block, they've already awarded theirs. We're doing this the right way. There's still almost a full month left in 2024.
Oh, yeah, we're going to milk it for all it's worth.
Naming the Person of the Year now, you could be leaving out a lot of candidates, I think. But at first round voting for our Alabamian of the Year, Sean, how long do you think we've been doing this now? Like 7 years, 8 years maybe?
This might be year eight. It's either year seven or year eight. I think you're right.
I think we had Sergeant John Young that won it last year. State Rep Chip Brown. He won recently, too, for Anaya's Law a couple years ago. So, and you're better at telling people kind of how this goes than I am. But Alabamian of the Year doesn't necessarily need to be the nicest or the best person, the most heroic person. It's a lot like Times, and right? The biggest event or person that had an effect on the news, I guess the news media this year, or whoever caught your attention the most. That's kind of how we do this thing.
who had the most effect on life of the human beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll look at the planet, and we're going to, of course, look at Alabama. But it is, you know, you can go back to the old tome. You know, they named Hitler, you know,
right.
Person of the Year. Back then they called it Man of the Year, but, you know, I don't know truly what Adolf was. Bad people can be in there. I said this. I mean, I think it's obviously too late. They named Trump, but I think to express how this works, that Mangione would be, I think, would be somebody who could have been on Time's list, you know, for person of the year. So it doesn't have to be, but we love it when it's positive, when
right.
it's good people and great stories. But just to know in this process, y'all, that if it's something that you don't think is great, maybe what happened with Admiral Davis,
right?
You could do that as a positive and say Admiral Davis for person of the year, or you could say the situation with Admiral Davis also, but it would be a negative in that case.
And it's funny you say that, Sean, because we do have a couple of those entries here. So we narrowed it down to 16 entrants remaining after all of the great suggestions from everyone. So we have 16. Half are people in the state, and then the other half are things or events. And I'll just run through these really quickly. The first part of the first round voting is up now. We have four that are on our page, fmtalk1065.com. Two in each of these voting rounds will advance to the next round. So our first four up right now are part of the people section. You have Mayor Sandy Stimson, of course, with everything that's being built in downtown Mobile, and then the announcement of his retirement, that I think, ending his term and not running for mayor again. Congressman-elect Shamari Figures, I think that's very fair that he's in there because that was a major, major part of our story this year. Senator Tommy Tuberville, he's been getting so much TV time and basically, mm-hmm. like Jeff Poor said earlier this morning, a Trump campaign proxy on a lot of these stations, and former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine. So those are the four that are up right now. We also have in the people category that will be voted on later this week, Admiral Kent Davis. He is certainly on the list. Former Baldwin County Sheriff Hoss Mack, who announced his retirement this year after a long time in that role in Baldwin County. And then a couple athletes you might have heard of, Ryan Williams, first team All-SEC, hasn't even turned 18 mm-hmm. yet, from Saraland. That's amazing. And then Paige Madden, who, of course, won some medals at the Paris Olympics this summer. And you look at what they're building out there off of Halls Mill and how much of a role she probably played in that, with people looking at how well she's done after her high school career. And then quickly, I think these are your favorite, Sean, the eight things or events that we'll also be voting on this week. Mardi Gras horses. Who can forget? Early this year, he had the one horse fall down.
Did you see they put out a press release a couple weeks ago, I think even before Thanksgiving, but I got something from the city. This was talking about the Mardi Gras horses, and they said everything other than, hey, don't be too fat for the horse.
Yeah. You know, Ozempic might have been the best thing to happen to these horses.
For horses.
Yeah, exactly. Midtown Attack Owls. The Midtown Mobile Attack Owls are up there. You remember this? The OnlyFans plane banner off of Orange Beach.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. How could we forget?
How could you? And Tony Kennan, the mayor there, so upset about that. So that's on the list. The clowns at city council also on the list. Maybe your favorite, Sean. I don't want to endorse anyone for you, but Supreme Executive Power has made it. That, of course.
Could there be anything else? I mean, it's Supreme Executive Power, so it overrules everything.
Yeah,
it's one ring to rule them all.
Literally can't go any higher than that. Glock switches, so that's back to the, it's not necessarily negative, a good thing, but how many stories?
But did it move? Right. Did y'all think, I mean, what Dalton said, so Glock switches, linked to so many horrible stories, but did it make its mark in the news cycle in 2024 in our state?
And then, you know, this year, Alabama led the way in two categories here, the making of life and the taking of life. IVF became such a massive story from right here in Mobile, became a centerpiece of the election, the mm-hmm. national election. So IVF is on there. And then nitrogen hypoxia, the only state that has done the nitrogen hypoxia deaths. And I think Bama's done three this year. I think that makes the state stand out. So that's why that is also on the list. Those are the 16 contestants, Sean, and we should have a winner the Monday before Christmas.
All right. Y'all go to fmtalk1065.com and vote early and often, like you were in New Jersey or something like that. All right. And we'll be right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So welcome back. Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. Glad to have you here. A big thank you to Leanna and Dalton for running things back at the Eastern Command Center as I'm out here in the wilds of West Mobile County. Get time to get to some of these texts, but I want a couple things close out. I was thought we'd talk more, and we could do it tomorrow, more about this Mangione story. I think there's a lot more to it. I think it's and so like my friend Supermom pointed out that this guy, I mean, his family, the Mangione family, and they, you know, I started hearing this like maybe the evening of or the next day after the shooting, they're well connected, well healed in Maryland, and that they were in the like assisted living centers and those nursing homes, those kind of things out there. But it seems like in addition, like Supermom says, they owned hospital at one point. Grandfather owned 2 country clubs and 3 radio stations. Well, that's how he lost his money. And then. It said when Gramps died in 2008, the business went to one of his sons, one of which being the shooter's father. Medical insurance is the hand that fed this kid. Of all the wrongs in the world, why the UHC CEO? There's something more to this. Maybe there is. Maybe it's, you know, he has his manifesto and he has his ideas. And listen, the idea of I don't want violent people. And I don't want silly people. That's the problem, too, that I see in, like, the things of the woke movement and all that. When you're young, you should be asking questions about society and pushing for change, right? If you should ask that. You should also have critical thinking and logic, but it's fair to ask, why is it this way? Yeah, been doing that, you know, as I always would disappoint my teenagers. They'd say whatever. I said, listen, you know, that like your great great grandparents felt that way. It's a teenager thing. It's all right. It's normal. It's a normal developmental thing. Oh, you're stupid. But you don't want somebody in this case who takes it to a violent level. I mean, to ask the question, does he feel, maybe Supermom, he feels guilty about how he, you know, got what he got? I don't know. That's the problem, because like so many of these things, you go, and not that online's a real world. It's not. You can go over to X, go to Twitter. And you would think that all these people think one way or all these people think the other way. In reality, majority of human beings that are, you know, to your right and to your left and in front of you and behind you have probably a, you know, a little more nuanced look on things than the bots and the bots. They're, when I say bots online, there are BOTS, right? Like robot. And then I say bots, BOUGHTS. They've been bought. So there's 2 kinds out there that are doing it for nefarious reasons, and then there are people that have the reason, have the opinion, but there's just, I guess it gets amplified. Do you think everybody's ready to go out there and you know, go shoot another CEO for a healthcare company? I don't know that that's the not. I think it's the rarest of rare people like this guy that took it there. But yeah, listen, we'll find out more about it. I think it's going to have further conversations too. And Trump's a guy that, you know, this is one thing when you go from, it's hard for a kind of stick in the mud, rule of law conservative like me, to get on board everything Trump does. Cause I'm like, well, you know, that feels good, but that's really not the rule of law. But this is in his bailiwick, right? This is where he's going to go, well, if the people are asking for this, I'm going to investigate. I think you'll see, are they really denying the claims for things they should be, you know, will it go any further than a subcommittee meeting? I don't know, but I think he'll call for it. And I guess we'll just wait for tomorrow. Speaking of Trump, a lot of these drones they're seeing in New Jersey are around Bedminster. Now, there's more there than just the golf course in Bedminster, New Jersey. There's a special access area. There's armories there, Picatinny's there, and all this. But it is this government that's supposed to be able to tell us, you know, what's going on minute by minute in Syria, right, as they're jockeying for power in Syria, can't seem to give us any real answer to what is leading, where are the drones coming from that are swarming over New Jersey, and whose are they, and what are they there for? This is, we've had these stories going on and on about the drones. And it, maybe we gotten to a point, maybe they've turned the heat up so slowly that people are just like, yeah, well, it's just more of those drones that they can't identify. New York Post says mysterious drones that have been tormenting New Jersey residents for weeks could be part of a top secret government program. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. A security expert, who I'm sure was anonymous, yeah, no, told the Post on Tuesday, as lawmakers push for answers over troubling sightings. Don't you think if it's somewhat secret, there's somebody who can get to them in Washington and say, quit asking questions. But no, they said it could be super secret. I don't know how secret. People are seeing them everywhere. Honor the Sopranos house, but all right, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. We'll do it again tomorrow. It'll be a Thursday. Y'all have a great afternoon. Yeah.